Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action, from suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Think about these things and we see what it says in the scriptures about these things. He's given us a time for everything, a time to be awake and a time to be sleeping. And you know what his time clock is? The sun and the moon? Not this man-made clock, it's the sun and the moon. That's his time clock. When it's light outside, it's time to get up. When it's dark outside, it's time to get ready to go to sleep. Rest and relax, that's what it's about. But we got it backwards in today's world. You know, I tell people, you know, we got to follow his timepiece, his time clock. You know, he gives us a time for everything. He gives us time to be awake and a time to be sleeping. He gives us time to be eating and a time to be resting and not eating. He gives us time to be resting and everything. Look at the daily times, then you look at the weekly times. He gives us the Shabbat. Why are so many people suffering today when they're going to the church on a day that he told us, you know, and they're ignoring the day he told us to go? They're not following the appointed times. Everyone say appointed. If you read the scriptures, they're appointed. They're told this is when you do this. You can go to church every other day. It's okay. But to ignore the one day he says to go, and then you're worrying why you're going to be suffering. You know, somebody told me, they said to me once, well, I disagree with you, and they got real upset at me. How are you going to tell me that I'm not keeping the commandments and I'm not following the word about Creator? I said, because you're not. He goes, I certainly am. I go, oh, really? How's that fourth one working out for you? You know, first of all, he didn't even know what it was, but then when he realized what it was, he said, he just sat down, because that's keep the Shabbat. Keep it set apart. Keep it holy. That's what holy means, set apart. Then we have our monthly times to rest, the new moons. Read about the new moons. That's a time to rest and recharging. Then we have our yearly appointments. This is the most important. Look, if you're sick, you go to a popular doctor, and that doctor tells you that, you know, or it's crowded, whatever, you can't make that appointment with that doctor, you got to wait a whole nother week to get an appointment with that doctor, and you get upset, oh, now I got to wait a whole nother week. Well, when you miss the yearly appointments with our Creator, you got to wait a whole nother year to go find Him again. He didn't do away with these things. And again, this is where the blessings come in, and health is a wonderful blessing. You know, get up early. We look at these people. Look, Genesis 19:27. Abraham got up early in the morning. Genesis 28:18. Jacob rose early in the morning. Exodus 8:20. Yahweh said to Moses, rise early in the morning. Exodus 9:13. Yahweh said to Moses again, rise early in the morning. Exodus 24:4. Moses was a busy man, rose early in the morning. He had a job to do. 1 Samuel 15:12. Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul. 1 Samuel 17:20. David rose early in the morning. All these people I just mentioned, they had a job to do and they got up to do it when they were called to do it. Now, if they were up all night watching American Idol or something else, they wouldn't have been able to get up in the morning to do these things. You know, they understand, you know, about the daily times and the yearly times and so on. Well, then we can look at what it says in the scriptures about taking care of our body and the food we're eating or not eating according to the scriptures. We look at 3 John 1:2. 3 John 1:2 says, dear friend, I hope all is well with you and that you are healthy in body as you are in spirit. I hope all is well with you and that your physical health goes along with your spiritual health. This is what it says. But we have this habit and addictions in today's world, but we got addicted to eating things we shouldn't be eating and doing things, eating at the wrong times and the wrong amounts and so on. But we can change that. You know, when we start changing, we start thinking when it comes to our diet, there's three areas that we messed up, three areas that we went wrong. And you take care of these three areas and everything else will work itself out just fine. The first area is we give no consideration what he said the food we should be eating is. We don't even give consideration about how to eat the food. You know, the second area is we don't look at the timetable he told us when to eat the food. And then finally, we make an idol out of our food. Let's look at the first area, how he told us to eat. He gave us teeth for a reason. He gave us saliva in our mouth for a reason. He created and designed us, and he created the food that we're supposed to eat and designed it. And if it works properly, we have good digestion. If we have bad digestion, that is disobedience. We're not doing something he told us to do because he didn't make us imperfect where he wanted us to suffer from bad digestion. So we look at this and we think about the saliva has an enzyme in it that helps us digest the food. So if we chew our food with the teeth he gave us to chew our food, the body starts digesting the food even before it gets to the stomach. So when it gets to the stomach, the body has less work to do. If it has less work to do, it's using less energy to do it, and digestion takes more energy than any other process of the human body. So if it's taking so much energy to eat food because we're eating it the wrong way, not chewing our food, guess what? We need more sleep and rest. And then we end up not getting the proper sleep and rest we need, and that's where cleansing truly takes place, and that's where we begin to suffer. But you just told me not to get up late. Shouldn't I be staying in bed if I'm not getting enough sleep? No, you should be eating less or eating and chewing your food so you don't have to worry about needing so much sleep. You know, if we think about these things, we just simply overeat and we don't eat the food the right way. Just chewing the food. I learned this from some dogs I had. I used to put the food in the ground, and before I got up, the food was gone. I said, I'd never seen anyone eat so fast until I started eating with people. You know, at least a dog does something that people don't do. I've yet to see a dog bark with food in its mouth, but I see people talking with food in their mouth all the time. You know, we need to slow down and realize, you know, chew your food and digest your food and then talk. But that's it. People aren't eating the right way today. You know, they're eating too much, too often, and too late. And then they get what truly the beginning signs of disease. Something is so normal that people just, they don't even think it's a disease, but it is. Laziness and constipation are the two beginning signs of disease. If you don't take care of that, it's going to keep coming back worse and worse and worse. And just because you go to the bathroom doesn't mean you're not constipated. You know, if you're going to eat seven times a day and go to the bathroom once a day, you better be in that bathroom a long time or you're constipated. But these are the things that are happening. As a matter of fact, I know people that are so lazy they're happy they're constipated, so they don't got to get up and go to the bathroom. That's how crazy it is in today's world. Now, some people try to deny that, but I don't listen to people that are full of something, you know? So we have to understand, if you're eating the food he told us to eat, you'll have no problem enjoying it and digesting it and so on. He told us to eat the things we were designed to eat, and the fruits and the vegetables. In Genesis 1:29, it says in Genesis 1:29, look, I have given you the seed-bearing plants throughout the earth and all the fruit trees for your food. You know, that's what we were designed and created to eat. If you're in a jungle and you look up and you see a banana and a monkey in that tree eating that banana, you're not going to look up there and say, that monkey looks good. I got to figure a way to get that monkey and eat it. No. You're going to be thinking, I got to figure out a way to get those bananas away from that monkey because it looks good. But today's thinking is wrong. People want to eat the monkey and the banana and they're still not satisfied. You know, people just got it backwards. They're just never satisfied. That's the real disease of Scripture. Somebody can go to an all-you-can-eat restaurant and still be hungry when they come out. They're just not satisfied. They're going to eat their whole meal and say, I'm so full, I can't eat another bite, and here comes dessert, and they can make room for that. They're not eating for the right reasons. We start eating for the right reasons and eating the right way. We won't have the, you know, people say hungry, I'm so hungry, I can't eat. You know, what if I'm supposed to do if there's no good food around? Then don't eat. I'm going to starve. No, you won't. You can miss a meal. It's okay. You know, you don't never know what starving is. I mean, if you're truly starving, you won't have the words in your vocabulary, I don't like that. I mean, you give somebody who's truly starving some food, they'll eat the food and the plate it came on. You know, but we have leftovers. Oh, I have leftovers. I'm so full. Until I just don't like it anymore. I want something else that's going to drug me up and make me eat more and so on that they do with everything else. That's what's happening. Then we look about, okay, so what we should be eating, the fruits and vegetables. 75 to 80% of your diet should be fresh fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. Raw, ripe, organic is even better. But you want fruits, vegetables, nuts, and seeds. That's what we were designed. Now, people say, well, what about meat? Can we eat meat? Uh-oh. The scriptures say, what do the scriptures actually say about meat? Well, the scriptures say clearly, we're okay, we can eat meat. That he approved. He didn't approve meat that people are eating today. This oxymoron thing, I can go to a church and you see women in bikinis and men eating unclean meat and they're thinking like, I'm not doing an oxymoron. Yes, you are. That's not what the scriptures are saying to be doing. We have to understand in Leviticus and Deuteronomy, he told us the animals that were okay to eat. And he told us, You know, he even identified how to identify those animals in case there were other animals later on that were discovered that aren't written there. But he told us the animals not to eat. Some people will say that's unclean food. That's an oxymoron. There's no such thing as unclean food. If it's unclean, it's never meant to be food. But we don't think these things. We just want to eat whatever we could pray over anything we want. We could eat whatever we want. And then when you eat what he says it's okay to eat, if you overeat it, then that's not following the design we're supposed to live by. It says in Proverbs 23:20, do not carouse with drunkards or feast with gluttons. And not only it tells not to overeat, it tells not even to eat with people that overeat. This is why I usually eat by myself. Look. The Bible doesn't tell us to be a vegetarian, and it doesn't tell us we have to eat meat. There's only one place in the Bible that commands us to eat meat, and that's during the Passover. That's the only place. You know, and even in those days when they ate meat during a special feast, on a special occasion. Not like today, people eat meat 4 or 5 times a day, and then they're wondering why they're suffering and stuff. You know, the scriptures are clear on these topics. So if you want to eat meat, do it the right way. But here's the problem I have. How many of you heard by a show of hands of the word kosher? Now by a show of hands, how many of you actually know what it means? See the issue? You know, we have to understand what this means if we truly want to understand. If we are going to eat meat, we got to do it the right way. And I'm telling you, it's almost impossible today, unless you have your own farm, to eat kosher meat that's healthy. Kosher meat today isn't healthy. Here's what the word kosher is. I'm going to give you 3 definitions of kosher. The first definition is biblical kosher. Biblical kosher means the Bible says it. It's written there, right in the Word. That's what the Bible says, and that's what I'm going to do. Biblical kosher. Leviticus and Deuteronomy tells us what animals are okay for consumption. Then is rabbinical kosher. Rabbinical kosher means some guy looks like me has to say blessings over it for it to be okay. Well, we don't got a list of it. Now, the rabbinical and biblical usually go together, but they're adding a lot more to it. Now, if adding to it's going to make it easier for you to do it, great, but if it makes it harder, then that's the problem. Then there's what I call common sense kosher. Common sense kosher means I don't care what the written word says, I don't care what some man says, if that food isn't going to build my temple, if that food isn't good for my body, I'm not putting it in there. For example, I'm from New York City. I don't care how clean the Bible says some fish is, I am not eating fish from the ocean in New York City. There's no way that could be common sense kosher for my body. The water in New York City is black. It's so dirty you could jump in there naked and come out with a 3-piece suit. That water is not clean. I'm not going in there and eating anything that comes out from that. It's common sense kosher. So we got to eat things that are going to help us and not harm us. Remember, if I was too sick to come here, we can't do this. Or, you know, you need to have the health to go out there and get the word out about our Messiah. So we need to be taking care of what we eat. So 80% of your diet, let it be raw rice, 75 to 80% fresh fruits and vegetables. Eat that first and then eat whatever you're going to eat after that. You know, but we got a backwards study. So we've forgotten how to eat or what to eat. And then it said in the scriptures, remember it said, to eat the things that have seeds in it, the seed-bearing foods. I can't even find a watermelon that have seeds in it anymore. See, the government takes what our Creator has given us and destroys it. Yeah. That's the problem. He's done it with the soil. He's done it with the food that comes from the soil. So how are you going to eat, you know, fruits and vegetables if it doesn't have its seeds in it? The next thing you look at the meat and everything else. You can't get kosher meat that's healthy. It's either kosher and unhealthy or healthy or unkosher. See, the New Ages, they're making all this grass-fed meat and everything else. And the New Ages are living a health message according to the scripture better than the so-called believers. That's why we're suffering more than they are. When he said we're to be set apart, not that way, the other way. You got the New Ages eating a more biblical diet than the so-called believers. Then you look at other areas, you got the Indian and Muslim women dressing more modest than most believers. You even look at the homosexuals. You got, you know, our Creator said the rainbow was a sign of the covenant, and you got the homosexuals using that as their flag. You know, it's been changed around. He takes what our Creator has given us and destroys it. So there's a new company out now called Beyond Organic, and Pastor will tell you more about this company, but Beyond Organic, Jordan Rubin, my friend that wrote The Maker's Diet, is now making it available where you can get biblically kosher meat that is actually healthy. And some other great products as well. So we need to do things like that if we're going to continue to eat meat. Or you could be like me and just be a vegetarian. I don't eat meat, so I don't got to worry about that. I'm one of those crazy vegans. Has anyone here ever heard of a vegan? If you haven't, a vegan is someone that doesn't eat any animals or anything that comes from an animal, and they don't talk to anyone who does. No, I'm just kidding. No, I talk to people that eat meat all the time. I tell them, don't eat it. No. Listen, I know people that eat meat that are healthy, and I know people that eat meat that are sick. I know people that eat a vegetarian diet are healthy. I know people that eat a vegetarian diet are sick. Health is more than just food and diet. We need to understand this. We start stop worshiping our food and start realizing that, which leads us to the next thing. We don't eat at the right times when he told us to eat our food. We got it backwards. People eat the biggest meal today, they eat it late at night. That's the worst time to eat your food. We should be eating the biggest meal at the beginning of the day so we have the whole day to work it off. But we do things backwards today. He gave us a time to do all these different things. We shouldn't be eating late at nighttime because we weren't designed like nocturnal animals in nature to eat when it's dark outside. We were designed to be resting and sleeping when it's dark outside. You know, people say, well, show me that in Scripture. And I say, look, Scripture will give you Scriptures, but there's also a principle behind the Scriptures. And we were designed a certain way. We were designed to eat when we could see our food. Digestion and the sun works hand in hand. And the moon and cleansing work hand in hand. But if we do it on the opposite time, we're going to get the opposite result that our Creator desired for us. I have a book called The Daylight Diet where I talk about that. People say, well, I still want to hear from Scripture. I said, look, if our Creator wanted us to eat when it was dark outside, he would have made fruits and vegetables glow in the dark on a tree. You know, before he got all this artificial electricity, we weren't eating at nighttime and everything else. People are eating so much at nighttime today, we have more books on diet and losing weight than ever before, and we got more obese people than ever before. Why? Because when you eat food at nighttime, it makes you keep that weight on. And the programmers know that. One of the greatest things you can do to stop eating at night is get rid of your TV set. You know, because very rarely you're in front of the TV at nighttime without food in your hand. They know what to do. I have a rule about TV. Unless I'm on it, don't watch it. You know, it's the programming. That's what they do. They program you to do these crazy things. So everyone's eating late at night, you go to your doctor and you say, I don't know what to do, I don't feel well. The doctor says, well, everyone's suffering from this problem. And then they name a disorder. And they call it late night eating disorder, and they give people permission, and they say, you don't have any control over it, so people do it. And they go, I don't have control. The doctor said I have some disorder. Pass me the ketchup, you know? And I'm like, no, you got an issue. Stop eating late at night. It's gotten so bad, there's even something called sleep eating disorder. This is crazy. That's when somebody will go to bed, and they'll fall asleep, and then they won't wake up, but they'll get up in the middle of the night, and this is a serious thing, they'll sleepwalk over to the refrigerator and eat without even knowing it, and then go back to bed. It's called sleep eating disorder. There's only one thing from a diet standpoint I could think of that's worse than getting up in the middle of the night and eating and not knowing it. You know what that is? That's getting up in the middle of the night and eating and knowing it. And that's what so many people are doing today. He didn't design us to do this. He wants us sleeping and resting. That's where the blood starts healing in the middle of the night. So we wake up, we're recharged. Look, what happens? You put your cell phone, you know, if you forget to plug it in at nighttime or you don't give it enough time to recharge, it's going to be half dead when you wake up and when it's time to get up in the day. Well, the same thing happens to your body. You got to give your body a certain time to recharge. And if you're eating late at night and digesting food late at night when you should be sleeping and rebuilding, you're going to run into a problem. So we need to realize these things. And, you know, people say, well, I told a pastor this once. He has a big mega church. And I told him this. He goes, well, I can't do that because I'm too social. I live a social life. I said, you're not going to find a person more social than me. I go out all the time with people late at night and go to eat late at night, and everyone's eating. I'm the only one at the table that doesn't eat. I'm like the designated non-eater. You know, I just sit there with my water, and I could have a conversation without food flying all over the place, and I'm the only one that feels good after the meal. Somebody, can you drive me home? I don't feel good. Well, you shouldn't have been eating at nighttime. You know, so you know, we can be social and we can have a great time and still enjoy life on this if we follow his plan. You know, but we just think of the way things are, the backwards way things were. So he gave us a time to eat. It says there's a purpose for everything under the heavens, you know, and a time for everything. But then the biggest thing is we make an idol out of our food, making food more important than he is. This has created a problem. Making an idol out of our food. Look. It says it great here in Job 23:10-13. It's a great example of the heart that we need to have. There's one word in this scripture that changes the significance of this scripture. It says in this scripture, but he knows the path when I take, when he has tried me. I shall go as forth as gold. My foot has held to his steps. His ways I kept and not declined. Neither have I backslidden from the commandment of his lips. I esteem the word of his mouth more, and here's the word, than my necessary food. His words are more important than my life, is what Job is saying. That's the heart Daniel had when he put his life on the line over and over again, not to defile his temple with the unclean food and living a disobedient life. That's the heart we need. His words have to be more important than our physical life here. That's the message. That's what Scripture's telling us. But we have this issue. It says in Proverbs 38 and 9, King Solomon says, remove me far from vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty or riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and take his name in vain. He gives us what we need when we need it, and he provides. But we're just never satisfied, always looking for more, never appreciative, and this is what happens. You know, he gives us the healing we need if we're sick and if we're being obedient and we have faith. Genesis 20:17, Abraham prayed to our Creator and he healed. Exodus 15:26, I am Yahweh who heals you. And Psalms 103:3, who forgives all your crookedness and heals some of your diseases? No, all of your diseases. Say all. All of your diseases. What doctor do you know that can heal all your diseases? They might tell you that, but guess what? They don't exist. There is one doctor, and that's Yeshua HaMashiach, a wonderful Messiah. He can heal all our diseases if it be his will. Psalms 107:17-20 sums this up quite well. It says, fools, because of their transgressions and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their being despises all manner of food, and they draw near to the gates of death. Then they cry to our Creator in their trouble, and he saves them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Then we go and look at Yeshua in Matthew. Matthew 9:35 says, Yeshua was going around all the cities and the villages, teaching in the synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and every sickness. So we have our Creator Yahweh saving, healing, and delivering. He saves us from sin, he heals us from sickness, and he delivers us from the enemy. And then we have Yeshua teaching, preaching, and healing. He teaches us the knowledge that will save us, he preaches the good news that will heal us, and by his blood we are saved. We have this information. We have the medicine for us that our Creator gave us, not the drugs that the doctor has given us. You know, the leaves have something in them called chlorophyll. Sickness is a result of unclean blood or lack of oxygen in the blood. That's the only thing that could let disease manifest and multiply and get the latest stages of disease. But the chlorophyll is oxygen, clean oxygen. And we get it from eating the green leafy vegetables. I tell everybody, you want some practical things to do with your diet, and make sure you have something green in your diet every day. And I don't mean M&Ms. Green leafy vegetables. Revelations 22:2 talks about the trees on each side of the river. And it says, the leaves of the trees should be for the healing of the nations. Yeah. It's the green, it's the chlorophyll. Leviticus 17:11 says, for the life of the flesh is in thy blood. We can say that's the same true for Messiah. The life of the flesh is in thy blood. The blood of Messiah, but it's the same true for us having clean blood. Genesis 1:11 says, let the earth bring out grass, the herb yielding seed and fruit trees yielding fruit. Grass. And he says, it was good. The chlorophyll's in the grass, and that's what makes it good. So we want to make sure we're eating the things that he's given us to heal. The herbs that he's given us to heal. And you can extract the oils from those herbs and use that to help your body heal. And then the greatest method for healing, the greatest thing is prayer. It says in Jeremiah 17:14, heal me, O Yahweh, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for you are my praise. And Proverbs 15:8 says, he detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but he takes joy in the prayers of the upright. We need to get these things. How are we doing on time? We're doing good, great. Okay, so we look at these things. Proverbs 15:29, it says, Yahweh is far from the wicked, but hears the prayers of the righteous. Says it again. Remember, it says, do not add or take away, but do the things that I told you to do. If you buy a car, you know, and your car breaks down, doesn't it seem like something wrong to take that car to the dentist to fix it? Unless that dentist was a mechanic on his side, he's not going to know what to do. So why, when we get sick, do we go to a doctor? They didn't create us, and they don't know how we work. When your car breaks down, you go take it to the manufacturer and says, I don't know what happened. And the manufacturer's going to say, well, there's a book in the glove compartment that could tell you what happened. Wow. Well, our Creator created us, and we go to Him, He said, I gave you a book that shows you how to get well again. Wow. And your answer is faith. Have the knowledge and have the faith, and you'll be fine. You'll have the joy. But you go around listening to these doctors and everything else that are sicker than people. Somebody said to me, well, Paul, my doc said I only had a couple of months to live. What should I do? I said, you better find another doctor. The only thing that doctor can determine, there's no medical machine or test that could tell that. The only thing that doctor's using to determine you only have 2 months is his track record. That means every person that doctor has seen with that illness only survived 2 months. That's not a good track record. You want to go to a doctor that says you have 80, 90 years, not 2 months to live. You know, but people are, you know, they idolize these doctors so much and everything else today, and it's the stress we have. You know, you need to get rid of the things that are creating these problems. You know, here's another thing you need to get rid of. You know, you need to get rid of the number one causing thing in your house that's creating cancer. Microwave ovens. You know, if you take water and you boil that in a microwave oven, and when that water cools down, if you put it over the plant will die. Wow. Now, if you never heard that before, don't try it. I don't want your plants to die. But I'm telling you, that's what happens. It completely destroys everything in the food and nukes it and changes the structure of that. When you eat that food, it destroys your body. You need to get rid of that microwave oven. Here's what you need to do. Get rid of your microwave oven and replace it with a juicer. And then use the juicer. You know, I always say, what does a Bible and a juicer have in common? Most houses have it and they just sit there collecting dust. If you want them to work, you have to use it. And people say, well, it's too much time. No, it's not. To drop a carrot in a machine and watch juice come out, that doesn't take too much. If that takes too much time, you got other issues. You know, have some juice each day. It doesn't take too much time. People say, oh, it takes a lot of time to clean it. No, it doesn't. It's a lot quicker to clean a juicer than it is a frying pan that you got to be scrubbing and everything else. So use that juicer. Get rid of that microwave oven. You know, put some green leafy vegetables in there and start juicing it. Well, I don't like green leafy vegetables, but then add an apple to it and make it taste sweet and you'll like it. You know, but, you know, breaking a habit is what we got to do. We got to break that habit of overeating, eating at the wrong time. And breaking a habit's not difficult if we have the key to break a habit. And the key to breaking a habit is consistency. Everyone say consistency. It's not about going back and forth. It's about being consistent at what you're doing, and you'll break those habits. I used to be in the habit of eating late at night. No matter how much I ate in the daytime, when it came nighttime, I was hungry. Until I stopped eating at night, and I didn't go back and forth. I consistently stopped eating at night, and then I broke that habit. So we need to break these habits that we've been doing for so long that are creating our issues. So we get rid of the microwave oven. We got rid of the TV. Those two boxes will put you in a third box much sooner than you should be in, you know?
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life Ministry.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end, His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope and the promise that He brings, that there will be place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that